Good morning. Happy Sabbath. I want to welcome you here at this church and those listening on the radio. I know that you're all aware of the violence that's been taking place in our society the past, I don't know how long. Well, a long time. But this summer in particular, there's been a lot of violence, and you know, it kind of grates on you. Each day you pick up the newspaper and more murders, more people hurt, killed, fighting. So I just thought, well, I just want to talk about this subject this morning. And it's kind of good therapy for me, and I hope you'll get something out of it too. So which form of violence were you aware of this week? Civil war? Ethnic or racial strife, mass murder, serial killings. I guess they've got a serial killer loose out in, I think it's out in Arizona. Drive-by shootings, family bloodshed, spouse beating, child abuse. Can we forget last week? How about the week before that? And the week before that? It just goes on and on. Here's some that have taken place here. Attack in Fort Hood, Boston Marathon bombing, military recruiting center in Chattanooga, Times Square. I think they found a bomb there and was able to disarm. This has been a while back. Vaughn Foods in Oklahoma, San Bernardino. There's other places. Some of them you may remember, some of them you don't. One just kind of blends into the other. But this summer, there's been some really heinous things that's happened in society. And you just wonder, how bad is it going to get? Just before having his throat slit by two Islamist terrorists in northern France last week, Father Jacques Hamel told one of his assailants, "Be gone, Satan," according to the priest bishop. In his homily, it's at his funeral, the martyred priest's funeral mass on Tuesday, Rouen's Archbishop Dominic Lebrun gave details of the last moments of the priest's life as he was slaughtered for his Christian faith. "Evil is a mystery," now I'm quoting the Archbishop, this was at his funeral, "evil is a mystery that reaches summits of horror beyond what is human," the Archbishop said. Is that not what you meant, Jacques, by your last words? Falling to the ground after the first stab, you tried to push away your attacker with your feet, saying, "Go away, Satan." The Archbishop said that the priest then repeated a second time, "Be gone, Satan." During that same homily with members of the Muslim community present, Archbishop Lebrun explicitly address those who may be tempted by jihad. "You who are tormented by diabolical violence, you who are drawn to kill by demonic, murderous madness, pray to God to free you from this devil's grip," he said. "We pray for you. We pray to Jesus, who heals all those who were under the power of evil." Many thousands attended the two-hour funeral mass held at the Rouen Cathedral, despite rain and unprecedented security, to pay final tribute to the priest killed in the attack. Y'all aware of what happened, right? This was at a Sunday morning mass, and these two guys come into the church, come in the back door, and stab the priest, and then they get up, one of them gets up and does a mini sermonette about jihad against Christianity. This happened with a few members. It was a small church there in Normandy, France. And before some of the people were able to get out the back door of the church and they notified police, police got there and were able to shoot both of them, kill them. This was at a Sunday morning mass. Symbolically, a stole was placed on a large cross because the priest's death was similar to that of Christ, unjustly condemned and put to death, according to the statement from the Archdiocese. In a separate memorial mass celebrated for the French priest Cardinal André Troyes told the Christian faithful, this was in Paris, told the Christian faithful that jihadists wrapped themselves in the trappings of religion while announcing a god of death, whom the cardinal compared to the ancient pagan god of Moloch, a demon who demanded live human sacrifices as tribute. And I have studied about Moloch, and that is true. They did sacrifice babies to the god Moloch, burned them in a little furnace. Those who wrapped themselves up in the trappings of religion to mask their deadly project, Troyes said, those who want to announce to us a god of death, a Moloch that would rejoice at the death of a man and promise paradise to those who kill while invoking him, these cannot expect humanity to yield to their delusion. The comparison between Allah of the Islamists and the monstrous Moloch of ancient pagan people was especially forceful, since Christians have generally understood Muslims to be an Arabic religion and a people of the book. Moloch, on the contrary, was a demon who demanded infant sacrifices, often identified with the Carthaginian god Baal, Baal worship. Cardinal Troyes ended his homily by urging the faithful to be courageous and to find their strength in the Lord. And this is a quote, though they fight against you, they shall not prevail, for I am with you to save and rescue you, says the Lord. I will rescue you from the hand of the wicked and ransom you from the power of the violent, the cardinal said, quoting the prophet Jeremiah. That was atrocious. A priest killed right there at the church. And I tried to find a list of some of these atrocities, and I just couldn't do it. So I went by my memory and looked up a few of these things. Just to refresh your memory, and this was this is as far back as I went. This was November 14th, 2015. It was a night when thousands of Parisian residents and tourists were reveling with fans enjoying a soccer match in France and a world championship with Germany, when horror struck and terrorists with AK-47s and reportedly had bombs strapped to them, and they attacked sites throughout the French capital of Paris. And one place at a concert, 128 people were massacred by these guys in a concert hall by firing rifles and shouting Allah Akbar. I believe that means God is great. Well, I don't want to go into some of the details here. We'll skip that. It's not necessary. You know what happened. June 12th this year in Orlando, Florida, at the Pulse nightclub, an American-born man who pledged allegiance to ISIS gunned down 49 people early Sunday at a gay nightclub in Orlando, the deadliest mass shooting in the United States and the nation's worst terror attack since 9/11. You know, what was it? 1929, I don't know, 1933, early part of the 30s, the St. Valentine's Day massacre occurred, and I think there were six men that were shot down by Al Capone on Clark Street, and the nation was just horrified by that, by the six men that were gunned down. And here you had 49, and in Paris, months before that, 128 people killed. the world is just getting worse and worse. Now, this was June 12th. Now, July 8th, we really had a bad streak, bad 2 months this early this summer. July 8th in Dallas, the first shots rang out at 8:45 p.m. on Thursday near a street in downtown Dallas where protesters were marching and police were engaged in crowd and traffic control. A total of 12 officers were injured in the ensuing gunfight, and 5 officers were killed. They were ambushed by a suspect and said he was upset about the recent police shootings. The suspect was upset with white people. You know, Satan is doing his best to divide the races. He's also doing his best to divide religions. And he seeks out to divide and then conquer. Because each time there's an act of barbarity and hate, it piles itself on and it magnifies and it grows and it festers, and people that are on the edge anyway, it builds in their minds till they just let go. And it doesn't matter if you're white, if you're black, if you're Christian, if you're Muslim. If you let that seed to grow in your heart, then our natural way is to reach out in violence. Satan knows this. Okay, that was July 8th. Now July 14th. This was in Nice, France. The people were there, were celebrating Bastille Day along the boardwalk there. And this individual decides to drive a truck down the street, sidewalk. Well, when all was said and done, and one just died a couple of days ago, the death toll was 85, with 200 injured. I had somewhere, I don't seem to have it right now, among that crowd there were some Seventh-day Adventists. If I had that, I would share it with you. But the father gave credit to God that saved his son. His son was injured, but he survived. But there was other Seventh-day Adventists there in the crowd also. After the attack, an apocalyptic scene, according to eyewitnesses, on the city's famed promenade, which runs along the Mediterranean Sea in the French Riviera city. Driving a truck down the street and just mowing people down. Baton Rouge, Louisiana. This was July the 17th. This was July 14th. Now July 17th. This summer. These all in this two-month period. A Missouri man ambushed and killed 3 law officers and wounded 3 others in Baton Rouge on Sunday during a time when police nationwide and in Louisiana City particularly had been on high alert after 5 officers were killed in Dallas in a July ambush. This was July the 23rd this summer. In Munich, 9 people were killed and 16 other injured Friday in a shooting rampage at a busy shopping district in Munich, Germany. The unidentified attacker was an 18-year-old German-Iranian who had lived in Munich for at least 2 years. Many children were among the casualties. This was only 8 days after the Nice incident. I think he'd even sent out some tweets or something saying that there was going to be some free hamburgers at McDonald's to try to lure people in. But my understanding is that he did target children. Well, that's just some that I remembered and did some quick research on. There's many, many more. These were just the biggies. Violence has been a cancer eating at human society since the earliest times. The world seems unable to apply the lessons that violence brings. It brings only sorrow and more ruthless behavior. Violence is a stamp on human civilization. Violence has been the chain connecting the human experience since the beginning of time. Isn't that sad? It's one link that has gone down through the history of man, is violence. American scientist and the late Carl Sagan once observed, civilization developed not from Abel, but from Cain the murderer. Frederick Wertheim, a leading psychiatrist in the 1950s, wrote in his book, A Sign for Cain, violence is more than an act perpetuated by an individual. It has a social history going back through time. Dr. Wertheim wrote, he comes on stage, fires a shot, but the script has been written long ago. One single actor does not make a play. Americans are snapping by the millions. Now, this isn't an excuse for violence. It's a commentary on the world we live in. It definitely contributes. Just listen to the world that we live in, and I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. The sheer stress of living in today's society is driving tens of millions to the point of illness, depression, and self-destruction. Consider the following trends. Suicide has surpassed car crashes as a leading cause of injury and death for Americans. Fully one-third of the nation's employees suffer chronic debilitating stress. More than half of all 18 to 33-year-olds experience a level of stress that keeps them awake at night, including large numbers diagnosed with depression or anxiety disorders. Research concludes that stress renders people susceptible to serious illness. And a growing number of studies now confirm that chronic stress plays a major role in the propagation of cancer, the nation's second biggest killer. The biggest killer being heart disease, is also known to have a huge stress component. 11% of all Americans aged 12 and older are currently taking antidepressants, those highly controversial mood-altering psychotic drugs. Then there's today's relentless economic pressures, high unemployment, people slaves to debt, foreclosures and bankruptcies, stagnant growth rate, thousands of people signing up for food stamps each week, rising prices. I'm sure you've seen that in the grocery store. I heard just recently, the other day, that the restaurant business is in a downturn. That is one of the very first economic indicators that the economy is not doing so well. It makes sense. People stop eating out. Prices rising for the entire middle class, whose net worth is simultaneously shrinking. Higher prices for essentials. And we have a very large national debt and a very unsettled economic situation between countries and the world. We struggle with China. China struggles with us. Russia, it's all intertwined economically to create a big economic tangled mess. Unfortunately, despite our nation's growing number of seriously troubled people, psychiatry provides little help. Matter of fact, in some cases, it can even make things worse because sometimes people are put on psychotropic drugs. They feel better. Then they quit going back to their psychiatrist, and the next thing you know, they're off their drug. They don't realize they've fallen back. And then some of these guys take guns and go into schools and kill children. This has been several years ago, but after the shooting at the middle school, the grade school in New England, and I can't think of where it was. It was in Massachusetts, I believe. That person had been on psychotropic medicine, and I did a little research then, and almost every single one of these nut jobs had been on psychotropic medicine and either were on it or had recently quit taking it. But here's part of the problem in the world today. It doesn't seem to be anything that we call sin. God has been ushered out of this country, and nothing is sin. Nothing is moral. Nothing is spiritual. Good character, introspection, understanding, repentance, and forgiveness, so vital to genuine healing and to the health of a country, are now irrelevant. No generation has learned the lesson and broken the cycle of violence. Each generation has continued to teach violence to the next through word, through experience, through attitudes. And as we get near the end of time, this is going to escalate. And you too have already seen things you never thought you would see. Even this summer. Uncontrolled anger, and rampant hate are serious matters. You have to be real careful out there driving that you don't offend someone who is right on the edge and just ready to let somebody have it. Paul warned people of such bitter human attitudes. In Galatians 5:15, he said, "Watch out or you will be destroyed by each other." Jesus stated the point more graphically, "All who draw the sword will die by the sword," in Matthew 26:52. Now, let's turn to Romans chapter 3. And verses 14 through 17, and let's read that. Romans chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. And 18, the last one, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Let's just go down there just a minute. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. And I'm sure you've seen this even at Little League games. Parents out of the control. Hollering and screaming and at sporting events, high school football, cursing and bitterness. Number 15, their feet are swift to shed blood. You see that on the nightly news. We've been talking about it here. People are so quick to avenge themselves. You've disrespected me. People take it on their own hands to avenge themselves. Number verse 16, destruction and misery are their ways. We have civil unrest all around the world. When people view as society or a government or things that is wronging them, people take to the streets. Number 17, and the way of peace they have not known. So many people are so quick to resort to violence because they have not studied the Bible and they don't seem to know or recognize there's another way. Jesus told us the other way. Let's turn the other cheek. We'll find out. Nobody's going to get away with anything, but it's not our job. Verse 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. People seem to have absolutely no fear of God. They don't think of any consequence to their actions. They just do their natural fallen instinct without any thought to consequences of what their actions might lead to. And in many cases, it ends up in their own suicide or a lengthy time, maybe the rest of their life in prison. But they become so possessed by their anger. And I believe Satan is right there firing the furnace that they just charge right in to avenge themselves, regardless of the consequences. And as soon as that shot of adrenaline is gone and they come down and they have avenged themselves, I'm sure that most of them are pretty full of sorrow if they're not some psychologically issues going on. Our scripture reading today, Hosea 4. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge. That's a legal complaint. Against the inhabitants of the land, there is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. We need to be showing mercy to people. I'm not talking about lying down and just being a lamb to the slaughter, but we need to be more merciful. We need to be more compassionate. Somebody that lashes out at you, you don't know what just happened to them. They've had a terrible day. They've had a terrible week. Maybe their wife just told them they want a divorce. Who knows what's going on in their life? So we don't want to be so quick to respond back in anger because we don't know what this person's going through. Chances are they're not mad at you. They're mad at the whole world. They're mad at themselves. They're mad at their life situation. By swearing and lying, killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed after bloodshed. In verse 7, the more they increased, the more they sinned against me. And verse 10 in there in Hosea, and this is the reason, because they have ceased obeying the Lord. We throw God out of our society. We deny his existence. We try to govern ourselves in our own best way of thinking. We throw away all moral conduct, and this is what we're getting. We're reaping the harvest that we've sowed. Now, I know there's a component to this called the moral emotion of righteousness. And we think that moral emotion of righteousness equals good. We think in our minds that we have a right to be critical of someone. We have brought this moral emotion of righteousness on ourselves, and we've set ourselves up to be judges. But too often, instead of being compassionate and understanding, this moral emotion of righteousness brings about rage, persecution, and violence. And I think we see that in religious strife today with the Muslim community. Because certain parts of the world don't agree with the way they see things, their moral indignation, instead of bringing about a more compassionate view, it brings about in our fallen human nature rage, persecution, and violence. It's happened in Christian history too. We are at odds with God in our natural way. It's not our natural way to be good. How much wrong is done under the name of good? You might think about how you feel when someone or group of people don't agree with the way you're thinking. When it's something that you feel very, very strongly about, and you think you're definitely right, and they're obviously wrong. What kind of emotion does that bring out in you? This debate on abortion has been violent in the past. We've had this debate in our society about the use of public restrooms, who can go in the men's restroom and the women's restroom. These sort of issues do bring about a moral indignation. It can bring about a righteous rage in people. Did Paul do God's will when he stoned Stephen? The next time you get mad or on the verge of losing control, think about the moral emotion of righteousness. And if the shoe fits, you have to wear it. We can all be indignant, but we need to take a step back, take a deep breath, and realize what our situation is. We're representing Jesus. Think about what you're going to say, what you're going to do, and exemplify the fruits of the Spirit. And Romans 12:17-19, repay no one evil for evil. See that your public behavior is above criticism. Verse 18, as far as your responsibility goes, live at peace with everybody. And verse 19, never take vengeance into your own hands. You know, we need to stand back and let God take care of this. For it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. God says the blood is mine, the fat is mine. God says vengeance is mine. We don't eat blood. We don't drink blood. We don't eat fat. We don't want to partake in vengeance either, because that's just as much God's as the blood and the fat is. I'll share this with you. This is just a short paragraph. We're all but done here. This is from Last Day Events, page 27. This was taken from Letter, page 258. This was written in 1907. By this, this is Spirit of Prophecy. I have been shown that the Spirit of the Lord is being withdrawn from the earth. God's keeping power will soon be refused to all who continue to disregard His commandments. The commandments seem to be gone today. The reports of fraudulent transactions, murders, and crimes of every kind are coming to us daily. Iniquity is becoming so common a thing that it no longer shocks the senses as it once did. She wrote that in 1907. Can you imagine after this June and July of this year what she would think? This is the last thing I want to share with you. I know we're over a little bit here. We started with this. We're going to close with this. Leaders of the Seventh-day Adventist Church in France expressed solidarity and compassion in light of the brutal killing of Father Jacques Hamel. This was July 27th this year. A priest was killed and another person seriously injured when two members of an Islamic extremist group stormed the church in Normandy, France. On July 26th, the assailant slit the throat of the father, Jacques Hamel, who was 85 years old. In response, the Union of Federation of the Seventh-day Adventist Church in France issued the following statement. Faced with such barbarity in a place of worship, the Seventh-day Adventist Church in France wants to express solidarity and compassion when a Catholic church is desecrated. It is the believers who are suffering. Church and places of worship are spaces of peace, prayer, and sharing and refuge. This escalation of brutality and heinous crimes committed by humans against other human is unjustifiable. Despite all legitimate feelings of sadness and revolt, and we have that, I mean, this is good therapy for me to give this message. We must always continue to fight evil with good and act for peace. We pray that God may change our hearts and our minds. The Adventist Church encourages its members to respect the dignity of all men according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I can't say it any better than that. So that concludes all that I have to say here this morning. And we will pray for peace. Thank you.